You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And also today...
Matt Hansen.
We are super excited because, guys, this is history. This is history in the making. You, the people listening at home, you're listening to history because this is the first time ever that Charlene and I have been in the same room and podcasting together for To The Journey, as well as having our longtime friend and sometimes co-host and past co-host and current co-host, Matt Hansen. We were all in the same room together.
Yes, this is monumental. You and I have been doing this for almost 4 years now, and this is the first time we have actually met live in person, and it's been surreal. You're real! Oh my God!
You have a face!
It doesn't cut off at the shoulder because of webcams, and we don't have to worry about the Google Hangout dropping and whatnot. It's been very nice, actually.
It's true. There's so many times when you and I will be having a conversation, and I'm waiting like, oh, wait, she's never going to freeze and have to reconnect. It's really awesome.
It happens more often than you know because of editing, thankfully.
You mean you don't pixelate in real life?
On a rare occasion, I pixelate, but not nearly as much as on Google.
So we are here in Star Trek Las Vegas 50th anniversary convention at the Rio Hotel and Suites. And we're recording this on Saturday. And everybody knows that Saturday is your biggest day when it comes to conventions. This is my first time in Vegas, but this is by far not your guys' first time in Vegas.
No, not at all.
Now, Hansen, how many times have you been here?
I've been here every year since 2012, so this is my fifth convention in a row.
Very nice. Yeah. Char, how about you?
This is my third Star Trek Las Vegas. I got to meet Matt Hansen in 2013. That was our first one. And then I was here last year with our former co-host, Laurie Sears, for the 20th anniversary of Voyager.
Fan-friggin-tastic. That is amazing stuff, because we've met so many fellow Trek FM hosts and non-Trek FM hosts and just online friends, and
oh man,
it's just been so surreal for me. For me specifically, because I've never been to Vegas. This is my first time in Vegas, and it's just been so great getting selfies with everyone and posting it online and I totally just met Starfleet Mom. Oh my God,
that happened. That literally happened this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both met her for the first time. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
And that happens with so many people here. It really is interesting this year as a unique experience where it feels like just about everybody really is here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where I know that I have missed people who have either had to leave or I simply know that they are here, but I've not seen them yet. There's that many people here.
It's just not possible to do it all in 5 days. Even with the extra day this year, it's not possible.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that we're meeting so many great people. And it stinks at the same time because you're like, oh, you know, it's so great to see you. We should hang out sometime. But I already got everything lined up for the next 5 days. You know, like every meal is accounted for. You know, you try to invite as many people as you can to hang out or go to a panel. And it's just, you cannot get to everybody.
No. So really, the reality of what happens at a convention like this is you float around and you run into people. You have no idea who you're going to see, when you're going to see them, but you inevitably see them at some point. And so that's kind of the fun unpredictability about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you make concrete plans. We definitely made plans to meet up because, duh.
Yeah.
But with other people, just randomly on Twitter, if they tag you, oh yeah, I'm at so-and-so's panel. I'll meet you afterward. It's very spur of the moment and not
that
improvised.
That may or may not happen.
It may or may not happen because things also come up. You get distracted. There are so many things to see and do. You just float from one thing to the other and you see this person. And it's overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because I was texting our art director, Aaron Harvey, and also the host of Saturday Morning Trek. And I was like, okay, you know, like, we're coming to the panel. He's like, yeah, I'm in the left back, you know, back row. Here's my view. And you're frantically trying to find that view. And then it gets to the point where you're like, oh, it's starting. I guess we'll talk to you later. You know, like.
Right. We need to take a seat now.
Yeah. It's, that's something I didn't really think about. Like, that, like this being my first big Star Trek convention. I never really thought about, like, trying to connect with people and then it not working out. And but most of the time, it does work out. And when it does, it's absolutely awesome.
It is a beautiful moment.
It's fantastic. And one of the things that we were commenting on this year, this being your first, and, you know, you've done this before as much as I have. You're really excited to see the stars walking, you know, back and forth down the hall, because that's inevitably going to happen as they go from panel to panel. But you're almost even more excited to find your Twitter people.
Oh, like, totally.
Like, the reaction could be, oh, there goes René Auberjonois. Oh, my God, that's so-and-so from Twitter. You just freak out more. And it sounds bizarre, but once you've done these enough, you really come for the people here more than the stars.
And it is great to meet the stars and spend, like, see them and get the autographs. But I had that exact moment that you're describing happen to me, like, even with René Auberjonois, because it was great to see him. And it's just like you're walking, and you're just like, hey, cool, René Auberjonois.
There
oh, my
is.
God, it's Romy from Twitter.
Right?
She's all the way from Germany.
I literally squealed when Romy and I met in the hallway the first day I got here. And that's Romy, shout out to you, babe, because you're one of my favorite people. And I'm so glad that we got to spend time together. That was probably one of the biggest moments besides meeting you, Tristan, for the first time.
Yeah, I just want to add on to that. Romy is such a lovely person.
Lovely
my
person.
Goodness.
So sweet.
Yeah.
So great. And
great,
she
great
came
person.
All the way from Germany
I
to
know.
Be here.
48 hours of travel time.
Yeah. Amazing.
Unreal.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
I should not complain about my 4-hour flight from Chicago.
Yeah, or my 3.5-hour drive. It is nothing compared to what she has been through to be here. So thank you, Romy. It's been such a beautiful experience.
But since this is To the Journey, let's talk about the first time that we met.
Yes, we've got to talk about this, right? Yeah. Everybody wants to know how this went down. And maybe by the time you listen to this, you will see an accompanying video
if
you have not already.
It's on film, folks.
Yeah, film. Darren Moser from Earl Grey captured the moment with his phone, and so we have it for all posterity, and I'm so grateful for that, because I really wanted that to happen. I wanted this moment to live forever, because I knew, you know, it only happens once, and it was going to be a big moment. So what happened was, we all kind of got here around the same time, at least you and I did. Matt was already here, and so we were going to do lunch together. So we go over to the Smashburger in the Rio, and I walk up there at the table, and my jaw drops. There he is. He is real. He is coming around to give me a hug. And I think I ran to you, and we had two bear hugs.
Yeah. And it was funny, because, like, I was sitting down, I was having lunch with Matt, because right when I got off the plane and took an Uber over here, I met with Matt, we had our bear hugs. And then we went to Smashburger, and then I saw Darren. And I was like, oh my God, it's Darren. And I jump up and run around. But then I see this tiny, tiny human being start running after me. And then I realized it was Char. And yeah, we literally started jumping up and down.
We
did. Like girls at camp. You know, like,
pretty much.
And it was, and then I looked to the right and I was like, oh my God, Darren's filming us right now.
Thank goodness that he did. That he had the cognizance to do that.
Yeah, we'll post that on in the show notes in some form, or we'll post it on Twitter or something.
I have no doubt that it's going to get around right about the time you're going to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
So just get on Facebook or get on Twitter. It'll be out there. Trust me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
so
yeah.
All right. So we talked about how we first met, and it was really awesome, because so many people outside of the online world, people outside of podcasting, don't really understand it, because when people tell me, hey, are you going on vacation this summer? I say, yeah, I'm going to Vegas. I don't even say I'm going to a Star Trek convention. I say I'm meeting up with a whole bunch of my friends who I've been friends with them for years, but we've never actually met in person. Their first reaction always like, what do you mean? Like, are they really your friends then? Or,
right.
You know, like what if they've been catfishing you this whole time? You know, like
that's a different show.
Yeah. Yeah, like Philip Gilfus isn't really Philip Gilfus. He's actually like a 12-year-old, you know.
He's a 12-year-old girl,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Philip.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
Just really good vocal work for being a 12-year-old girl.
I know,
right?
Get that girl a voicing contract.
Seriously.
But yeah, so it's just people kind of look at it weird, but it's so interesting, because we just... It's like we've been friends for years, because we have been friends for years.
We have. It's just not been in person.
Yeah.
which it makes it different. It does make it more complex because, mm-hmm. yeah, you can see a person on the screen.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. That is real to an extent, but actually in person is a different level.
Yeah.
And then to have all of us, so many Trek FM people and listeners that you know that you've talked to on Twitter or podcasting with, just really cements the bond that you have with all these people because yeah. they're real.
Well, and I actually feel it gives it some authenticity because like Tristan said, a lot of people, when they hear that you're really close friends with someone online, they kind of doubt that it's an authentic friendship. And then, you know, to a certain extent, that could be true. You meet up with someone and you just don't click as well. Right. I feel like after this week and having spent more time with you both in person, that it's confirmed for me at least that the bond that we've had for the years that we've been podcasting on various forms of media has been authentic. It's confirmed that for me. It's a great feeling.
Well, yeah. I feel like we're kind of in a different aspect because we've all podcasted together. It's a little bit different than just being follow friends for years and just tweeting 140 characters at a time. Now, I'm not trying to devalue that friendship at all. Not in the least. But I feel like we get much more exposure as podcasters because we see each other's faces on the screen. We're talking together for hours at a time. And there's tons of people who do that who aren't podcasting. You know, like they just do a meetup and everything like that. But I think that adds to it.
Well, podcasting has been the medium through which we have made more of a connection with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the vehicle for it.
There you go. That's much better.
And therefore, I think that weeds out the whole idea of possibly, oh, this might be a disingenuous friendship. No, because you have to have a certain amount of realness to do that sort of thing. We would not be clicking and hosting this podcast for almost 4 years if we didn't have a genuine like foundation of friendship. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work.
You can't fake chemistry.
Right.
Because then, bam. I mean, if you listen to shows where the chemistry is fake, the listeners can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. It's forced.
It's forced. And I think that's why we've all been podcasting with each other for so many years, because even if nobody listened, it wouldn't matter because we have so much fun.
We enjoy it. It's a nice fringe benefit that people listen and do enjoy what we do. But yeah, we mostly are doing this for us. It's a selfish reason, but it is our reason for real.
So let's start talking about the convention a little bit. Let's talk about what we've done, what we've seen. So I got here, Matt, you got here on Tuesday night?
Tuesday night.
I got here Thursday afternoon. You got here Thursday afternoon.
Yes.
And so it's been all a blur. I don't even remember the first thing we did was...
Altogether was Whoopi.
Was the Guinan camp.
We did lunch, and then we went to the Whoopi Goldberg panel. And for those of you who did not know this yet, first convention appearance ever for Whoopi Goldberg.
She was absolutely phenomenal.
Amazing!
For some reason, I feel like Guinan is a very underrated character, and I've said so online. I've written about it, but like for some reason, like when I saw Whoopi Goldberg on the agenda, I was like, okay, well, you know, like if we need to do something else, that's okay. You know, like if we miss it, that's fine. I don't know why I was thinking that, because like you know, Matt told me, no, this is her first one.
This is important.
That's when I was like, oh, I need to be there, and she was so entertaining.
And it's Whoopi Goldberg.
I mean, no.
You knew you were in for an experience because it's Whoopi Goldberg, but the fact that this was her very first convention appearance, that really added an element to it because she's kind of a fish out of water. She doesn't know how this goes, and she just shows up, and she's just Whoopi.
Just Whoopi,
and that was so beautiful. We had a really good time. I tried to live tweet a little bit of it, but it's really hard in the moment when you're trying to enjoy it, but also share at the same time.
Well, not just that, she's a very captivating person.
Very much.
She spoke a lot, and one of the things I noticed about her versus other actors that we've seen today is other actors are great on stage, but they're sometimes a little bit more hesitant because, you know, they mainly work when the cameras are on and they have lines to say, and you know, public speaking may not be exactly their forte, but Whoopi has a stand-up background, so she's used to the live audience, she's used to all that, and that came across very well on stage. I thought it made things a lot more relaxed for her.
Yeah, well, and like the way she answered questions.
Yeah.
And was able to frame her answer. You know that she knows how to handle this sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that came about. And there was not one lull. There was not really, there wasn't any weird questions from the audience, I don't think.
No, not for that panel.
Not for that panel, yeah.
Not for that panel. And any ones that were a little bit more off kilter, she handled in stride.
Yeah.
With her sense of humor, because she's got a great sense of humor, obviously. Yeah.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And she also, she wanted to, she reminded everyone that Whoopi is at least as old as the 1800s. And did
she's
I say
everybody's
Whoopi?
Guinan.
I keep doing that. Whoopi and Guinan are interchangeable in my mind. So Guinan is like, she's been around since the at least the Mark Twain days.
Yes.
Right.
And so she could be in any iteration of Star Trek ever.
Right.
And so, like, somebody brought that up saying, you know, like, oh, well, like, you could totally be on Discovery. And she's like, yes, I could. And
then what was the hashtag?
Yes, please.
The hashtag, like, the interviewer came up with a hashtag. He said, hashtag bring Guinan back.
Bring back Guinan.
Bring back Guinan. And Brian Fuller tweeted a picture of Guinan with that hashtag.
Yes.
And it just exploded.
So, We of course, we don't know anything. We have no insider info just because we're here in Vegas. But if anybody can make this happen, Brian Fuller can and possibly will if he can find a way to make it work.
Even if it was cameo. Just a quick...
Oh, that's all we would need.
That's all
right?
We need. Just a walk-on, just like she's a bartender somewhere
or
something.
Just a great little nod.
The Discovery goes to some planet where she's working.
Yes!
Yeah,
yes!
See?
Yes!
Yeah,
yes, that'd
yeah.
be amazing.
It would be so great.
And for those of you who are thinking like, well, you know, like this was 30 years ago when she was Guinan, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if she
yeah,
looks different.
It doesn't matter. It's Guinan and it's Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
What more do you want?
You get like if you Come have on. The ability to get Whoopi Goldberg, you get Whoopi Goldberg.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, that
I
was.
I don't feel like that's even a question. Just like, yeah, let's do that.
That was a great kickoff. For all of us.
It
for
was.
All of
that
us,
was
yeah.
the perfect first panel. That was. It was highly entertaining. It was a big moment. And it was really sweet that she thanked people for attending her panel when mm-hmm. really we need to be thanking her
for coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see her a few more times. Hopefully.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love that.
So after that, did we go to the vendor's room? Or
we did.
We did. We did some exploring.
I love the vendor's room. And every single every single con that I've gone to, I've only gone to like two or three before this one. And that's my favorite place to go is the vendor's room. And even if I don't buy anything, it's just so much fun to walk around and see everything that you can purchase and all these really interesting knickknacks and such unique stuff.
Although one of the things that I think is the funniest thing that happens this weekend is that Tristan came here with just one carry-on bag, and in the 4 days that he's been here, what have you doubled the amount of stuff that you're going home with?
It is insane because I've only bought a few things, but people have been so lovely, so inviting, and so generous that they keep giving me gifts.
Yeah,
like they keep coming up to me and saying, "Hey, you know, like I followed you online for a long time. I love the show. You know, like here's a ship. Here's an action figure." Here's a t-shirt. It's just...
They love you.
It's been so humbling and so great. And we're seeing people walk around with Team Lizard Babies t-shirts.
Yeah.
Okay, now how surreal is that?
Oh, that was so... Like, that was actually the right when I came in, like, before I even met you, like, for the first time in person, I saw somebody with a Team Lizards Baby t-shirt, and I was a little embarrassed. I didn't want to go up and talk to them.
Oh,
I was
you
like,
didn't?
I was like, they're wearing my shirt, you know? And
okay.
And then, like, Philip went up. And I was super embarrassed, and Philip went up and just started pointing at me and saying, "That's Tristan Riddell over there."
Tristan's a little bashful.
And so I went up and I introduced myself.
Well, I'm not bashful because I was walking down, I think with Darren, to get registered.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things I spot somebody wearing a Team Lizard Babies t-shirt. I'm like, Team Lizard Babies, yeah, to the journey. And it ended up being one of our loyal listeners, Tasha. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, hun. And we talked for a short moment, gave each other a hug, and then off I went. And that was a very surreal moment. Like, wow, people, they get behind this thing.
Because that's happened to you before. Like, you've actually met listeners in the wild before. I've never done
yes.
that.
Yes, that has happened. But
are you,
happens,
you laughing at me calling it the wild?
In the wild.
But to have it happen so many times in one, like, you know, in a block
one,
of days
yeah,
like this,
yeah.
It really does hit home. Like, wow, okay. Yeah, people out there listen, they appreciate it, and you know, it's just you and me.
Yeah.
You know, who are we?
Yeah, it's so humbling.
It's
so
yeah.
great.
Wow. I'm obviously at a loss for words right now.
But yeah, like people have been so generous, and so like I have a big box full that I'm gonna have to ship home because I don't have an extra luggage, a piece of luggage to take on the plane. And
right.
It's and so thankfully, and they're so smart to have a UPS store in the convention center
yes.
for that very reason.
Yes, yes. Very smart.
Yeah.
Now, day one.
All about the meetup.
All about all about the three of us meeting up and like meeting up with the Earl Grey boys.
Yeah.
And
that was a lot of fun.
So Whoopi, Vendor's Room. Was there anything else convention related that we
did? Did we do dinner?
We did dinner, but I don't think we went into any more panels
Thursday.
Yeah, I guess not.
You know what's kind of funny is that this convention, for as many good panels as there have been, we've done a surprisingly few amount because we've been enjoying spending time together.
Right.
And that's been the real kicker for us.
And like I said, the thing is that we like seeing the stars, and it's, of course, a very special part of this convention, but, you know, you go into panels and you have to sit there and you have to be quiet when all of us, I think, would rather be talking with each other like the way we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know we have a very limited window of time to all be here together.
It's so hard.
Yeah. So we're cherishing that big time.
Yeah.
To quote Generations.
Ha!
Cherish every moment because it'll never come again.
That's right. Time is the fire in which we burn.
Guys, you're going to make me misty.
But the second day was a very big day for you two. Because
it was.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Tristan, not only is this your first convention, first Star Trek convention, you actually got to host a panel or be a part of a panel.
I was a part of a panel. Yeah, that was really interesting. This is my first big Star Trek convention. I've been to two other small ones, but yeah, it's funny because we were doing Super Bridgemates, and longtime listeners of the show know what Bridgemates is.
Yes,
and it's a show that we play with the Earl Grey crew, and where it's kind of like the newlywed game.
It's you know, the brainchild of Philip Gilfus. Mm-hmm. He puts this whole thing together, and in the past, Darren has edited the episodes, and I think Darren helped him engineer a lot of the things to make this happen in Vegas. So kudos to you guys for putting in all that work. It was a great experience. We had fun.
It was a souped up version of that where it was live. It was happening in front of an audience. We were recording it. It was three teams instead of just two.
Yep.
We had Team Free Enterprise, which is Darren and Daniel. We had Team Lizard Babies, which is you and I. Mm-hmm. And then we had
Women at Warp
with Andy and Jera.
Council of Mistresses.
Council of Mistresses. That's right.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard questions. Philip was ruthless.
He was, man. Episode titles, right? You know what? Am I right?
Can I just say, as someone who was an observer of the audience, I thought everybody did very well. Except when Team Lizard Babies won and had to do the lightning round of TNG episodes names, which I'm sorry, you guys thoroughly disappointed me.
I know. That's the thing is, like, I felt so bad for the audience because both you and I are like, pass, don't know,
or
pass,
wrong answer. Yeah, we're like, okay, we don't know crap about TNG episodes, clearly.
You should have just started saying random words.
Oh, that would have been
funny.
Here's
the thing, though, is he was reading them off of the Netflix descriptions,
yeah,
which are so horrible.
They're awful.
Can describe five episodes at least.
Yeah.
That's really hard, you guys, when you're on the spot.
And of course he chose the most obscure TNG episodes he could find.
Yeah. Troy falls in love. Well, no crap.
But it was a lot of fun, and Matt was continually telling us that the audience had a good time.
The audience loved it. You guys were amazing.
That's fantastic, because we had a lot of fun too, and my hope was that everybody would have as much fun as
we did. You can never really tell when you're on stage. You got the lights on you.
That's exactly it. Like, we might have been enjoying ourselves, but if it wasn't entertaining for the crowd, well then what were we doing there? No. So I'm glad that did not happen.
They were entertained.
That way.
It was good. It was so strange because I went to school for film, and I also did a lot of theater in school. And I did improv for a long time, and I helped my wife with her kids perform and everything like that. And it was just so funny because, like, right before I got on stage, I realized, holy crap, I haven't performed in like 8 years.
You were getting
really
nervous.
I was getting insanely nervous, and I had no idea why. I was like, it's not that big of a venue. I'm with friends. It's completely structured, but I was freaking out a little bit, and I think it was just because, oh man, I haven't performed in a long time. Like, I have not spoken.
That's really interesting you say that, because I was a little nervous too, just because I'm not much of a performer. I'm not trained.
Yeah.
Had
you ever been on a stage before doing things in front of people?
I have run a panel before, but it was in Fargo for their local convention. It was maybe 20 people there. And I was answering questions about podcasting. It was a little different. This was a little more random and definitely a lot more bigger. But I could tell you were a little nervous, but you were totally cool about it, you know?
Not only were you cool about it, but Tristan, the old training must have come back, because, I mean, there were a couple of technical difficulties, and Tristan was very, very good about being charming and stalling for time.
There was one moment in particular when I was trying to stall for time that actually kind of backfired on me.
What
happened was is that there was technical issues. They were having a hard time with the presentation. And then I said, I just want to direct everybody's attention to the logos. You have Free Enterprise, Lizard Babies, you know, like done by Aaron Harvey, great stuff or something like that. But then I said, but then you look at the like Council of Mistresses, you guys did that yourself, didn't you? And you're like, yeah. And they said, it did about like 40 seconds. And then I was about to say, but you should be proud of it. You know, what's the story behind it? It's awesome.
Yeah.
But before I could say that, Philip's like, and it's fixed. And so everybody's kind of like, was he just logo shaming them? Like, what's going on?
And you totally were not.
Yeah, I totally wasn't.
I didn't
that was
think
not
it
my
came
intention.
Across that way.
Good.
That's good. That's good to hear. But yeah, it's, but it was so much fun just being on stage with all of our friends. And like, this is the first, like, that was the first, not the first day, but. You know, like, that was actually the first day that we were all together with the entire EG crew, because Daniel came on the...
got in fairly late on Thursday.
Yes.
But not only that, we had various people from the Trek FM network come in to help make Bridge Mates happen. We had Mike Schindler and Ken Tripp and Norm, and I know I'm missing people, Brandon. Everybody kind of pitched in and helped. Plus, we got a big photo at the end on the stage. And that was definitely a moment we all wanted to have. We made it happen. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And also, we got a picture of the three of us in front of the huge Delta Shield that's in the center of the convention.
Yes.
And the 50th anniversary symbol.
The 50th anniversary symbol. And
very pretty.
And that was like, I told my wife, I said, I was like, I want one thing to happen, one thing only. if it's the only thing that happens, this is what I want to happen. The three of us have a picture together. And because that sucker's getting framed and put on my desk for whenever I podcast with you guys.
Now that we have that photo, I totally agree. But the one thing that absolutely had to happen in this whole convention was the bear hug.
Oh, yeah.
Once we had that, everything else is golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, this was, you know, like I said earlier, you know, like, people would ask me about vacation. I wouldn't say I'm going to a Star Trek convention. I'm saying, like, I'm meeting up with a whole bunch of friends. And that's really what this has felt like.
Same.
It's what it's been. Yeah, absolutely.
So after Bridgemates, my mind is so fuzzy.
It's been a blur,
yeah.
Hasn't it?
It goes by so fast. I mean, you blink it and it's gone. I don't think we did many panels.
We didn't.
We did a couple.
Yesterday, we did one, didn't we?
We missed the
DS9
TNG panel.
Ladies.
Yeah, we missed the TNG panel. We saw Crosby and DeLancey.
Oh, you guys did. I did not.
Oh, that's right. We missed Neil McDonough. We got the tail end of him. But then we had the DS9 panel. And
the ladies.
The ladies and Iris Stephen Bear.
And Iris Stephen Bear.
Those were interesting, and he dropped some interesting news.
Yes, I'm so excited, because at some point, I forget the question that was asked, but... Iris Stephen Bear said something about there being a DS9 behind-the-scenes documentary Blu-ray that doesn't have a release date yet, but is supposedly coming out soon. And I want that to come out, because I feel like, we were talking, Tristan, I feel like the behind-the-scenes on DS9 has been some of the most unexplored behind-the-scenes knowledge.
Agreed.
So
yeah.
To see a Blu-ray like that with Iris Stephen Bear, who quite frankly I think is one of the most entertaining guys ever. I mean,
it's the purple
he's
beard.
He's kind of kooky and weird, but he's got a great sense of humor, and I think he's going to be.
Yeah.
And he's the one who's conducting the interview, supposedly on this documentary. So, I look forward to him interacting with, you know, his old cast and
And
now, did you guys know about the documentary before?
No, we had no idea.
Okay, I didn't either. So that was news to me, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I started getting tingly like when he mentioned it.
I think
like,
that was news
to
everybody, considering like what I saw on Twitter yesterday. That no one had any idea.
Yeah, like the audience definitely kind
of,
you know, like gave
collective
out
gasp.
A collective like.
Like, if we can't get DS9 on Blu-ray next week, we're going to have this coming right up. Yes!
Yeah.
We've got something.
And, of course, there's, like, whenever, like, it's so interesting because whenever you have Terry Farrell as well as, like, the behind-the-scenes people, I'm always wondering about how that's going to... It's kind of like Denise Crosby.
The dynamic,
You know, like, it's the same dynamic that, like, Denise Crosby has is that...
Like, are they going to be weird about it?
Are they going to be weird about it? Are they going to be cool about it? Is there going to be, like, backhanded comments here and there?
Well, yeah, if yesterday was any indication, because not only was Terry Farrell on stage, Nicole DeBoer was also on stage.
Right.
So you had the person who left and the person who essentially replaced her. And
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, but no.
Filled in... Yes. You know what I mean.
Fill the spot,
I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I didn't sense any sort of animosity between those two. I thought they handled themselves pretty well. Yeah. So
those two have never had a problem.
I think it'll be okay. Things will come out, but I think they'll conduct themselves very well.
And they're grown adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was also a Nana visitor.
Yes.
And I just want to say that I pray that I age as gracefully and as beautifully as Terry Farrell, Nicole DeBoer, and Nina Visitor.
They look fantastic. Amazing. Yeah, oh. I hope I do half as well. Because, yeah, they all look amazing.
Actually, you know, if you think about it, all these stars do. Like Michael Dorn, Jonathan mm-hmm. Frakes, Marina Sirtis.
Gates McFadden.
You know, Gates McFadden. They are aging so gracefully. And especially in a time and an age where women are not allowed to age.
Yeah.
And you're like, men can gain weight and lose their hair and go gray.
Yeah.
You know, that's totally acceptable. But with women, it's so much harder. And
we have a very different standard.
And, yeah.
I mean, yeah, they all just look absolutely crazy good.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to remember that this was 20, 30 years ago for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they still look fantastic. So yeah, for one thing, good for them.
Yeah.
But then two, I want to know their secrets. What do you do? Because I want to keep up and do the same things. I want to look good too, darn it.
No.
Deal with the devil, Charlene.
Is that what it is?
Now, speaking of women in Star Trek, we saw an amazing panel today.
We did. We kicked off the day right.
This was the first panel that we did today. Today is Saturday. And it was the Women in Star Trek, A History of Feminism or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And we got Bijou
Trimble.
Trimble, thank you. And we got Kate Mulgrew on there. And we also got a couple of ladies from our community.
Yes.
Like podcasting and mm-hmm. blogging and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mary Serwinski.
Jara from Women at Warp.
Mm-hmm.
And Kayla Iacovino, who works for TrekMovie.com and
yes.
is also a volcanologist.
Yes.
Right, which she,
with an O, not an A.
Right. I loved that joke. Like, she has to explain it a little more in depth, especially at conventions, just because she's not talking about the pointy ears. She goes in volcanoes and does science.
And,
so that's pretty amazing.
And it was all led initially by Amy Imhoff.
Yes. And they all did a fantastic job. It was a really interesting multiple perspective conversation on feminism, which I had a really good time because of the different points of view.
Right.
Everybody's coming from a slightly different place, and feminism means different things
to different
people. So I felt like that was portrayed actually in a very good way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I felt like you could tell from the conversations that it meant different things to different people, but I liked how at the end of the day, they were all kind of on the same page.
Right.
And,
well, if you break it down
yeah.
enough, feminism simply means equal treatment in every way for everybody. Who can't get behind that if you are a real fan of Star Trek?
And it's I feel like this is my first time seeing Kate Mulgrew live.
Mm.
And I was in awe of her because
I know, right?
she was
our captain.
Isn't she eloquent?
She is so eloquent, so well-spoken, powerful.
Oh, yeah.
She has a powerful presence.
Yes.
That's what I was, not to fanboy out, but...
No, fanboy out, please.
I was in awe of her presence. It was so commanding, and...
She walks into a room and you know it.
Even if she didn't play the captain, she has a commanding presence.
Yes.
And, she had some of the best quotes out of any panel that I heard. Like, one of them is, I've never called myself a feminist. I've just assumed my own independence since the day I was born. And, you know, there's multiple views of feminism. You know, some people say, I don't like using that word. Some people say, well, whether you use that word or not, you're still a feminist.
And some people, I believe it was Dr. Iacovino said, she misunderstood what that word meant because mm-hmm. she thought...
A lot of people do.
A lot of people think that feminism means women should be over men.
No.
And
that's not the case at all. Right,
right,
right.
And so even though there was differing viewpoints, I feel like they all found common ground.
Yeah, in the end they did because, Kate is coming from a very different perspective where she made her way. She's got such a strong personality that her experience is very different from somebody who may have not come from the same kind of background and been more repressed and had to fight harder to get the same kind of things, even halfway as much as what Kate has achieved in her life.
Right, and I know as a fan, have you read... Kate Mulgrew's recent autobiography, The Born with
Teeth. Oh, of course.
Teeth.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it makes sense coming from her point of view because she talks in that book about how she's the oldest girl and she was always bossing the guys
around.
She always had
to be a leader.
So that was always the way it was for
right.
her.
She literally punched her way through any ceiling that faced her.
Yeah, I really need to find a transcript of that panel, because there's one quote that I don't want to butcher it, but it was talking about how you live your life, like, don't worry about being a boy, don't worry about being a girl, but live your life with inspiration and innovation.
Be you, basically. And passion.
It was just, I need to write it down and put it on my wall.
That right there is quintessential Kate.
Yeah.
Kate is Kate, and that is why I love her so much. That's why she's my captain. She is unlike anything.
And she even talked about J/C.
She did a little bit. She talked about it. She wanted to talk sex because that's Kate Mulgrew.
And it was so funny because she said, she's like, they like sex in Star Trek, but don't we all? You know, like,
she's like, don't we all? And Trekkies especially.
And Trekkies especially.
And it's true.
She got my applause.
It was so funny. She was such a crowd pleaser. But not only Kate Mulgrew, but everybody else on the panel had really great things to say.
Absolutely.
And everybody was kind of given
different points of view, because I really loved hearing from Bijou Tremble, because she was there when the women, not only the women's movement started, but the women in sci-fi movement.
The letter writing campaign.
When it was coming to be. Yeah. She was there in those very early days. We owe so much to her and her husband, whom she always makes sure gets in there, because it was them as a team.
That's awesome.
And that's great. That is fantastic. I love that. They've been married how many years?
56.
What an achievement.
God bless.
Absolutely.
I hope in my own life I can achieve that as well. That is huge. And good for them so much. That's wonderful.
Very much so. And then right after that panel, like...
we didn't even get 2 minutes worth of downtime.
Yeah, it was like it happened immediately. We had a TNG panel with Johnny Frakes, Michael Dorn, and Marina Sirtis.
Johnny Frakes, like you know him.
Hey, we hang out all the time, okay?
Talk on Twitter, right?
Yeah, we talk on Twitter. We have dinner every Tuesday. It's fine. I get to call him Johnny. So, they were on a panel together. They had no host.
Thank God.
Yeah, like there was no moderation. It was just the three of them, and they did not need any host or moderation.
Oh, no. I mean, how many times have they done this? For 30 years, they know what they're doing, so great.
I think that the host or the people who run the convention realize that no one can wrangle these people.
No.
So just let them be by themselves.
And what I love about the TNG crew is they create their own fun. They came out with the crazy right away today for this panel and
right
did
away.
Not stop.
Yeah, like Marina, like there was multiple couches, and so Marina's like, well, I'm going to have my own couch then, and she starts laying down.
She proceeds to lay down and realizes, I'm wearing a dress.
Yeah, I think Frakes even said, you're not wearing any panties.
Yeah, something like that.
Speaking of Frakes, how would you quantify his amount of time actually on stage? Would you say it was about 45%?
Maybe. It was so funny because immediately Frakes just got off the stage and just started wandering throughout the audience, sitting down, saying hi to people.
He's going to Scott Bakula's photo booth and...
No, Scott Bakula was signing autographs. It's like, who's signing over there? Or Scott Bakula?
He's like, is Scott over there?
Scott.
Yeah. And he was just like this child with ADD, just like walking around playing. Like he found some toy starships.
He found a toy shuttlecraft.
And started playing with it.
Started asking, because they had the Trivial Pursuit thing up there. That's what that was.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Started asking random questions.
He started asking the Trivial Pursuit questions. And also, I love Marina
so much.
She is so brash and in your face and honest. Like there was one person, God bless him, you know, he didn't mean anything by it, but he said, he's like, what was it like to work with this so-and-so? And then Marina said, I'm just going to stop you right there. And I want to give a note to everybody in the audience. Don't ask us what it was like to work with so-and-so. What are we supposed to say?
Right?
You know, like we're being filmed. We're in front of thousands of people.
The internet exists.
Yeah. Like she's like, just sit down if that's your question.
I mean, yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Like, oh, that person was
horrible.
Yeah,
they were a complete pain in the ass to work with. We hated them. We were so glad when they were gone. We threw a little party. No, of course not.
There was one time I was at my first Star Trek convention. It was Mark Alimo, the guy who played Gul Dukat.
Uh-huh.
He was talking. It was just him. And somebody came up and said, what was it like working with Worf? And he met Michael Dorn.
Yeah.
And Mark Alimo immediately went, what? Are you trying to get me in trouble? No, I'm not answering that. And then he moves on. And I'm just like, oh, was there beef between the two of them?
Not that I know of.
That's the thing. It's not that I know of. But the thing is, like, this fan must have known something that turned out to be true. And he was just trying to instigate some crap.
Or was he? That's the thing. Or maybe he just... It's that whole thing of what you expect me to say something really honest and possibly maybe some negative feelings there. Who the heck knows? But no, they can't do that publicly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it's just so funny because there are certain people who, like, there's certain panelists and stars who, like, you get the crazy questions, you get the weird questions, you get the long questions.
Right.
And they take it in stride and they try to go, like, Well, you know, they try to be really, really polite and say, like, really, well, diplomatic. You know, like, I did this and it was a long time ago, but let's move on.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have Marina and Michael Dorn.
Yeah, there. She is shameless.
Quite frankly, needed to said what needed to be said.
Yes.
Because, I love it.
I mean, I love connecting with the fans here, but I'll be honest with you guys. Going to the panels, I think some of my least favorite parts of panels are fan Q&A, just because there are certain questions that get asked.
Every
that
time.
Make you do the Picard facepalm, yes. Do they not? Like, it's just, it's awkward, it's weird, and I feel bad for them having to spin and try to do an answer for them that doesn't sound like they're messing with them, but right. God bless Marina for just making people sit down.
Well, that's what I love about Marina Sirtis is her personality is very forward, she is direct, she does not BS you for anything, and you either love that or hate that. I mean, look at her Twitter. You know, you can figure it out pretty much from there.
Who she is on Twitter is who she is in real life.
But even more amplified.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's just so much fun.
I just love her for it, though. I think it would help, actually, if everybody was that outspoken. Can we just say what we really mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Let's cut to the chase and say what's on our minds and cut out the PR BS.
I loved how it became an ongoing joke and a theme of the panel where everyone was coming up asking a question
Frakes.
For Frakes.
Frakes, yeah.
And Marina was just like dropping her mic, yeah. Like,
why
fine.
Am I even here? Like, why am I even here? Why are we here? Because it was her and Dorn were kept getting excluded.
It was so, so funny.
It was hilarious.
And it was, that was kind of our experience. I mean, like, that's kind of, like, as soon as that was over, we went and had lunch with the EG boys and Aaron Harvey. And here we are now.
Just, that's been our convention.
It has been a whirlwind.
One more thing that was unintentionally funny, but I'm sure you'll never forget it, Tristan, is we played the old TNG interactive video game.
Oh, that's right!
Game.
You forgot about
the party. The party the first day that we all met up. So it was Thursday night.
Yeah.
We went to go party with the Earl Grey guys and a bunch of other people in their suite.
Rooms 17001.
Which is a sweet suite.
I can't believe that they got that number. And that's okay that we're releasing that number because...
They'll be out of here by the time this is out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Darren brought the old TNG interactive video game.
Board game. Like the VHS board game. With not Gowron.
Yeah.
With not Gowron, but Robert O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And it's a timed game, and I believe Tristan won, and it was down to the last 16 seconds.
16 seconds.
Wow.
They still haven't sent me that photo. That needs to be the show art, but...
Okay, get it to me.
The unintentionally funny thing is that, you know, hotel parties are a little treacherous because you can't be loud. But when you have a lot of people in one space, you can't help but be loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole night, we kept getting, like, could you keep it down? Calls. Look,
security came by. We got a phone call.
So we were doing quite well.
Yes.
Until Tristan won.
Yeah. But it's so funny because, like, everybody just started screaming. Like, because it's when it's a timed game, like, everyone's rolling the dice as much as possible fast as possible. And, like, it's really like speed chess. You know, like, just moving pieces around and throwing the die and trying not to hit anybody in the eye. And then as soon as, like, it was, like, once we hit the 20-second mark, everybody was freaking out. And then I finally roll the winning die, and we get to 16 seconds, and we pause the game, we won the game. Everybody screamed at the top of their lungs, except for me, the person who actually won. And I'm like, guys, quiet down, we're going to get in trouble. And then so, like, I collect my winnings. There was no winnings. And
he grabs me and we leave before security comes.
And I totally abandoned you.
You did. And what's so funny is I was going to watch you guys play. I didn't want to actually play. I wanted just to see it happen. But I ended up having some screwdrivers and talking with Romy the whole time in the same room.
And Larry Nemechek.
Larry.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't interrupt you, because you were talking with some other people. And then I pulled Matt and I was like, security's coming, let's go.
Yeah, and then, we kind of collectively, we weren't shoot out, but we're like, okay, we need to break this up. This is too much. We're going to get everybody in trouble. We didn't want Earl Grey guys to get fined or whatever was going to happen.
Thrown out of their room.
Yeah, no. So we all kind of leave, and then we see security coming. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. Nope. This is over.
That's totally, like, if you go to a convention and that doesn't happen to you, you didn't really experience a convention.
You didn't have that much fun.
But let it just be said that if you're thinking of having a hotel room party, maybe think twice.
Yeah, keep it down or go out to, like, some restaurant.
It's difficult.
It's hard, yeah. All right, well, I mean, it's we've caught you up on our Vegas experience, and it's been an absolute blast. What would you say, besides meeting each other for the first time, what would you say is one of the highlights?
Romy.
Romy?
I've talked with Romy for probably the last 4 years via Twitter. We've mentioned, she's such a sweetheart. Getting to just talk with her, a pure delight. And that's not to the detriment of anybody else that I've talked to this whole convention, because I've enjoyed talking with all of you. The people that I'm meeting for the first time and the people I'm seeing again. Shout out to all of you. I love you all. It's fantastic. But she has a special place in my heart. And I'm so glad we had the time that we had at this convention, because you never know. Life is weird, and that may never, ever happen again.
Matt, how
so
about
I cherish
you?
It. Oh.
Really, I mean, it's hard to say what my favorite part is aside from meeting you, because that truly has been my favorite part of this convention. I mean, Shar and I have met before, and it's been great. We've hung out.
Yeah, but this
times,
is Tristan
but,
we're talking
but
about.
Tristan, I mean, we've known each other. We've talked and we've done projects together for off and on for 4 years, and we've shared and we've, you know, we've gotten to know each other, and it's just been such a treat to finally be in the same room with you and to actually, you know, experience that authenticity. So I'm a little bummed that tomorrow it's going to be over, but I'll remember the good times we had here.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
You guys are going to make me cry. That's why I said, besides meeting each other, what's the highlight?
No, but it's hard to answer, because that truly is the highlight of this weekend.
Well, that's the whole reason why I decided to even come to the convention in the first place. Yeah. You know that, right?
Yeah, no, I do know
I
that.
I mean,
I
was on the fence.
That.
It was going to be expensive. The tickets were not cheap at all this year.
It really would be
time. Getting time off was going to be difficult. But when you signed on, I was like, I have to. Yeah. I've got to be here however long I can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, since you guys answered that way, that's my answer too. It's just absolutely meeting you guys.
But besides that, Tristan.
Well, no, like, let's,
if we're going to do something like the panels, the feminism panel was really cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed, personally, the Whoopi panel. Because that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah,
in terms of, like, the, I don't know, the programming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, Super Bridge Mates, just because we were in it.
A little biased.
Yeah.
I think, like, getting together with everybody in Earl Grey's suite.
It's been priceless.
Fun.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Just getting together with everyone. But if I had to pick a panel, I don't know, it'd be a tie between the feminism panel and the TNG panel with Curtis Frakes and Dorn.
Those back-to-back. What a treat.
Like, that block, if I could say that block was my favorite part of programming here at the convention.
Yeah, right on.
All
right,
well, I don't think we don't have any notes in front of us, so we can't talk about our associate producers, but please, you can go online and you can find out who supports the show. You can see it in the show notes.
Yeah, we're not going to do that this week. This is a special, it's a very special episode.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we're here recording on the mobile and murder, so I mean,
we really are. Yeah.
This,
and it's big and clunky and just such a nuisance.
We probably should have mentioned that at the beginning, that we're not using our normal radio.
I'm sure they noticed.
Yeah, this is a mobile recorder, like in the middle of a table. But we hope that you guys enjoyed it, and I think we need to go out on one more to the journey.
Okay.
To the journey.